Sometimes we misunderstand the concept of loyalty. We think loyalty, that means I go along with my tribes, or my friends, or I go along even with my family, or I go along with a certain culture, or certain traditions, or a certain even theories. But in according to Sharia, loyalty has a different meaning. And we really need to understand it, and we understand also what kind of loyalties we are ordained to have. When we come to the definition of loyalty, we will see that it is the commitment by your own choice to fulfill your obligations as an act of worship to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Commitment, that means you are committing yourself, deciding to do. That means the intention is there, and you are already in the act of doing it. By your choice. If there is no choice, there is no amen, there is no loyalty. Now, you pay the IRS. Why we pay the IRS, for instance? We pay the IRS because if you don't pay the IRS, what's going to happen to you? You're going to go to jail. But if you have a choice to pay or not to pay, and you deliberately choose to pay, that's loyalty. So what makes the difference between forcing and loyalty is the concept of commitment based on your conviction, satisfaction. And why I am doing it? Fulfill your obligations as an act of worship. I am getting closer, I am pleasing Allah, I am trying to satisfy Allah. Acting of worship is but being loyal. So the loyalty, it is your commitment by your own choice to deliver your obligations as an act of worship. That has nothing to do with your language, your country, men, your culture, even your family, your whatever. Your loyalty is to your commitment. What kind of commitment we have? When we come to the area of commitment, we have really three major categories. And please allow me to just touch base with those three categories, because each one of them really is real big. But you are more than welcome to go and to do the follow-up on those as you convenient. The first of all is your loyalty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second is your loyalty to yourself. And a third category is your loyalty to others. Now, when we take your loyalty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are some bases we need to understand. The question that you and I have to answer as a creature: am I obligated to Allah or not? Is there a certain obligation or not? And if the answer is yes, we need to know another major concept. What is that other major concept? Is the receiving end, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how He evaluate this. Is He demanding and asking for this right or this obligation, or He doesn't? You need to know the status. The status, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, yes, I have rights over my creatures. And I'm going to indicate those. But إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need anything from anyone. But he said, if you do it, you are the beneficiary of what you do. And if you don't, you get also the consequence of not doing. Usually when I come and say obligation, that means what? The receiving end, the other side, is the one who could get the benefit. Like what we're going to find out. When I fulfill my obligation, when I'm giving you, for instance, I'm paying my taxes, the other end is getting my money. I am out of the money, they get the money. So they have the benefit, not me. I'm not gonna worry about how it is coming back, but that's not the issue now. The issue here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, no. وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٍ. Whatever you provide, whatever you support, whatever you do, you get the consequence of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep it for you and will get you the fruit out of it. So you need to know your obligations with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what is. Allah said, you are the beneficiary and you have the choice to do it or you don't do it. And what are those major obligations? The first one is to believe in Him and you never associate with Him. Allah had the right that you recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and recognize His right and you never associate with Him. Okay, what I mean by believing in Him and submitting to Him, that means unconditionally obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah had the right to be unconditionally obeyed and not associate with Him. What did the association mean? Ash-shirk wal-iyazu billah, associating with Allah. That means, number one, you believed in Allah. You did not deny. But you claim one of the attributes or one of the character that belong only to Him, to other deity. When the people go to a grave of good people and they started to get the blessing or get the barakah or asking for rizq, provisions, the word the rizq is Allah, it's not that great. And if you think a little bit, if he is able to or she is able to do anything, they wouldn't be in the grave now. That's just one form. If in any given time you feel there is someone in that universe or the whole entire universe can be beneficial or can be harmful to you in any given time, you got a problem with the association. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had the right to be unconditionally obeyed and unconditionally worshipped and never had associate. And from here it comes the value in Surah Al-Fatiha with the word or with the ayah إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Only you we submit to and only you we seek help. Only you. So that is the first right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, Allah had the right to you believe by all His messenger and the messages that He sent it. And this message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send it is like the user guide for you, to tell you what to do and what to not to do, what is right and what is wrong, according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala view, not according to your own view, not according to your interest, not according to your shortcoming and lack of knowledge or your whatever al-hawa is. So you, when you believe on that, you are fulfilling a commitment that you committed yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, part of your obligation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be grateful and to be thankful. And thanking means what? Thanking, some people understand it as the act of a tongue when you pass a compliment as a reward for an action. I don't know you, you don't know me. I'm coming here and carrying a box. You open the door, what am I going to say? Thank you. But maybe I don't know your name, and you don't know me. We never see each other, especially if you're in a shopping center or whatever. And maybe you will never ever see that person again. But what is thanking here? Thanking is a passing a compliment to express a gratitude about the action that has been taken. I'm not going to worry about the motivation. I'm not going to worry about, but that is the thanking. But in Sharia, what is thanking means? Thanking means using what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you from blessing, using whatever He gives you to glorify His name. If He gives you money, you use it for that purpose. Give you health, you use it for that purpose. Give you life, you use it for that purpose. Give you knowledge, you use it for that purpose. So thanking in ni'mah, the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by using it and doing the lawful thing, not the forbidden thing. This is how you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not an act of gratitude of the tongue, but it is using what He gives you to do, to thank it, to apply it in what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, another act or other right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-khilafah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ. Khalifa, that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the mankind a vicegerent, representative of the face of the planet Earth. What about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us so we can go to the job, come home, watch the television, have dinner, have a vacations, ride cars, and after that die? Get some money and do something and after that leave it and go? No. That means your job and your commitment. It's a lot of detail in this area, but unfortunately for the purpose of the khutbah I cannot, inshallah I will try to be. Your job is to promote good and fight evil. On the face of the planet Earth gonna be good. And on the face of the planet Earth gonna be mischief and evil. Your job is to make sure that the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will supersede. You will provide the backup, you will provide the support to the truth, to the facts, to the right. And at the same time, you will demote, you will discourage the wrongdoing. That is Imarat al-Ard. And that take a physical, and take emotional, and take a whole lot of areas on that. But these are basic obligations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obligated on us. And we have the right. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us here the choice between we commit ourselves to do it or we don't. But obviously, if we're going to do it, we need to have to be very, very sincere. Very sincere. It comes as a second, inshallah, obligation to yourself. Who is number one in your life? You. Who you love, the bottom line, who you love most in your life? The bottom line is you. But the question and the challenge, are you kind to yourself? Do you really love yourself that much? That much? To save it? To protect it? To make it prosper the right way? There is, in this area, there is two different things. And unfortunately, they judge, or we use them to judge our order, motivate our behaviors. There is a difference between the word pleasure and the word happiness. What is your flesh want is the pleasure. What you want is the pleasure. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want for you is the happiness. And a big difference in between the two. Big, big difference between the two. Between the pleasure and between the happiness. The first obligation that you have to yourself is to be sincere. And you hear a lot of people say, be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself, that means what? You already calculated what you really want to do. Is you want to use the life and what's in it to qualify to Allah's mercy in this life and after, and stay away from Allah's anger? You want the happiness or you want the pleasure? Pleasure, that means food is a pleasure. Biological relation is a pleasure. There are other forms of a pleasure, but they are very short, very have a beginning and end, and they don't grow. Part of their nature, they don't grow. And if you after a certain period of time, they lose the pleasure in it. And all the time you need more, 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 or divert and go to another kind and another kind and another kind. Maybe if you eat the first orange, you enjoy. But if you keep third orange, you're not going to enjoy as much. The pleasure will be less, less, less. So you really need to decide, what is it that you want? You want a pleasure or you want happiness? The second, if you really love yourself and you really care about yourself, excuse me, you have to watch yourself. You have to control yourself. You don't allow yourself to get outside of Allah's mercy. See how you behave with your child when you see he's running to the street. You run after him to restrain him. And sometimes even you hold him. And sometimes even you punish him. Why? Because you love that child. How about yourself? Yourself, you need somebody to do that, do it to. And you have to do it for yourself. You know why? Because if you don't do it to yourself, no one else will do. No one else will do it. If you don't look after yourself, no one will. Because everyone is overoccupied by taking care of his or her self. You have to look after yourself. And that's amanah. That is loyalty to yourself. Loyalty is not to let yourself to do what it wants, when it wants, how it wants. But loyalty, it means you discipline yourself to do the right thing, on the right time, on the right means, according to the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described it in the Quran and the Sunnah. And you will never be able to do that if you don't have the motive, which is the sincerity, and the clear vision to what is your goal is, and you have the knowledge. You have the knowledge of what to do and what to not to do. Good intention is not good enough. Most of the wrongdoing happening because the people had a good intention, but they don't really know what is the right thing to do. Or they don't know how the right thing to be done. Also, committing yourself to stand up, which is, that is the missing part of our life. Committing yourself to stand up for whatever right and stand against whatever wrong, whatever the price is, that is a loyalty. Promoting good and fighting evil, one of the most challenging task that you and I have. Why should I let the people know, or I tell them what can make them angry, what can make them furious, what can make them displeased with me? Why should I make trouble for myself? Let everybody do whatever they want to do, and what gonna end up with? They will drown and I will drown with them too. It is a part of our loyalty to yourself before loyalty to anything else after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be in constant state of promoting good and fighting evil. Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam is saying what? Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyati. You are responsible. And every and single one of you is responsible for the affairs of everyone else and for the collectively the affairs of the group or the nations or the ummah or the family. In this also, you still have the choice. You still have the choice. You will see a lot of condemnation in the Quran about following your own convenience. Tiba'u al-hawa, following the convenience. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promoting you to do the other one. But when we come to the category number three, the story is different. Which is your obligations to others. And it comes on the top of the list of the others that they are what? They are your parents. And I talked about that the last khutbah. It comes on the list of your obligations is your obligation to your parents. Come on, the list of the loyalty, the affairs of your parents. We need, when we deal with those issues, we have to look at it with that concept. It is not a task to do, but it is an issue of trust. Allah trusted you with your parents to look after them. As long as you are alive, not as long as they are alive. As long as you are alive, you are trusted to look after them. Allah trusted you when you sit down and you had the marriage contract. And don't ever think for a minute that your spouse in your life, it just happened, or it is your own selection, or it is your family selection, or just things happen. The universe doesn't work this way. And if you want more details about this, that particular issue, the selection of a spouse, listen carefully to Surah Al-Shura. Study it. Take your time. You will see that Allah decreed. Allah is the one who is taking the material and putting it together to create new, more creatures. The selection is of Allah. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you a spouse, what did this message say? I trusted you with the affairs of that spouse. I trusted you. The marriage purpose is, it is a holy commitment that two people, man and woman, they will help each other, to each one of them, to be better Muslim. And to qualify better to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy. Not one to dominate the other, or one to serve the other, or one look after the affairs of the other, or to be a servant of each other. Allah did not create slaves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create slaves. Slaves is the act of our sin. When we betray the concept of loyalty, when we betray each other's rights, that here it comes, the act of domination and act of slavery and all of these things till the end of it, regardless what the form and the format. So when we come to the marriage, there are two people helping each other to be more obedient. And this is act of trust. Allah gives you that spouse so you can look after her affair, or she looks after your affair, so you will be a better Muslim. When you do not deliver those, when you think that you're going to deliver when you are happy, and when you are not, or when you are not, you are not going to deliver, that's the act of what? Betrayal. You betraying the contract with your spouse. And Allah in this area said, no betrayal. Inna Allah ya'murukum. Allah ordered you and to adul amanat, to fulfill your commitment. In the beginning of the definition, I said a choice. But in this category, Allah said no choice. Because you've been trusted to do it. After the parents and after the spouse, it comes to the offspring, the children. It comes to the offspring and it comes to the children. Your job is not to provide for the children. It's not to shelter the children. It is not to clothe the children. All of these, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing it and using you as a mean to deliver. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide the unable through the able. The children cannot earn a living, so Allah send their provision through the able, who is able to earn a living by going to work. But what is your job as a parent? Your job as a parent, you being trusted, the word is trusted, and this is the job number one for the parents. Trusted to do your best to help that creature to qualify to Allah's mercy in the hereafter and to live in accordance in this life. If you really love them, and I usually say, and I still committed to this statement, no one gonna love your child as much as you do, and no one gonna harm your child as much as you do. And we don't know what to do. So your job is to use that passion, that love, to make sure that that child will grow up, know exactly what is the purpose of this life, what he's supposed or she's supposed to be in it, what is their commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you've been trusted to do this job. Why you had those children and somebody else did not? Because Allah trusted you and trusted the mother, or trusted the man and the wife, with those children, with the spiritual. The physical keeping is another issue, but the most important, the spiritual issue, to make them grow. When you take care of everything and leave that, you betrayed your trust. Another form in this category is your obligation based on contracts. You go to your job. You go to the job. And you don't do your best on the job. You betrayed your contract. And Allah said, وَالْمُوفُونَ بَعَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَاهَدُوا. You betrayed that contract. When you, I'm not going to talk about cheating and dealing and wheeling and the concept of this is a business. This is a business that means you have a license to cheat and deal and wheel. That's not right. That is completely forbidden and completely wrong. Business, that means what? It is a mutual interest between two parties or more. Everybody agreed to exchange benefit. I'm going to go and get a job done. I'm sharing my experience with my work environment. In return, I'm getting my paycheck. That's a contract. And I'm fulfilling that contract. Your commitment, your loyalty to the group that you are living among, like your neighbor or your country, there are a certain obligations to be a good citizen and to be loyal. And there are standards to that type of loyalty. If you betray that, you betray the trust and you betray the loyalty. When you turn your back and say it is not my business in this area, you did betray. Another form of trust with the groups, and that's kind of phenomenon, is when the people trust you with their valuables and they give it to you to keep. They give it to you to keep. You should give it back upon request. If they give it to you to keep for them, and they took a receipt, that's not trust. If they give it to you in front of witnesses, that's not trust. Trust here means what? There is no one gonna validate this transaction but your conscience. And I'm gonna tell you two things. And I'm gonna finish inshallah the khutbah by. And you can see the impact
of being truthful and being trust. Sayyidina Muhammad salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, all the people that they fought against him in Mecca, they did not find anybody else to trust but him to keep their valuable with. And when he left Ali ibn Abi Talib behind to do what? To do a backup, but to deliver that trust. He did not say they are enemy. They are the one who killing. They are not the one torture. They are the one who took the Muslim homes. They are took the Muslim money. They are the one who did the killing. Did all of that? No. Trust is trust. And in this area, once you have and accepted the trust, you are responsible for it. You don't use it for personal use. If it drowned or fire or lost, you are still responsible for it, or replacement. Once you are trusted, you are trusted. I'm going to give you a living example. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after maybe 25 years, this incident just came to my mind while I'm speaking to you now. About 25 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me by making Umrah. And I went to the Medina. And in that day, I decided to spend the most of the time in the Masjid. Alhamdulillah. By the time I went just a little tour before I go to the Masjid, and after that I went to the Masjid and I stayed there as much as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted. And I know that I have to go back to the Riyadh at the same night. I was doing some job down it was a conference, and I was attending about 3 days down there. Anyway, to make the long story short, it was a dinner time, and I came out, and I wanted to buy something to eat. I put my hand on my wallet, no wallet. Where is my wallet? It's gone. With the wallet, I put my passport and I put my airline ticket, and in my pocket, just about no change to get me even make a telephone call. Or by another word, I was in a deep trouble. Subhanallah, I went right into the security in the masjid, and it's obvious, I've been spending all the time here. So it is here. The guy said, the officer said, don't worry. Why you are worried? If we don't take anything belong to anybody else, don't worry. If it is at the masjid, it's going to be in one of the shelves, or it's going to be reported. If it was not reported, that means you go where you sit, you're going to see it in the shelf. I went into the shelf, nothing. I went back, he came with me, and after that he said, listen, the best way, track back, where did you go? And I started with him because I was really very alert. I started to track back with him where I went. And I found out I went to a library because I like to buy books. And I spent about maybe 10, 15 minutes in that store because I just want to go to the library. I don't want to buy books. But anyway, what had happened is I bought one book very quickly, I paid, and while I was talking, I left the wallet there. I went back the minute the owner of that book at the store, may Allah bless his soul, the minute he saw me, he said, where have you been? I've been waiting. You know, in the summertime, what did the heat in Saudi Arabia look like? The man didn't go home. He stayed in his shop because he saw the airline ticket and he saw all my paper, my passport, my money, everything in it. So he stayed in his store. I was so happy to see it, to the point that I opened the wallet and I said, please take everything. Just leave me enough money to go to the airport. And as if I slammed his face, may Allah forgive me for it, he said, you are paying me for what? You didn't buy anything. You're going to pay me for doing my duty? That's your God, Allah giving to you, not giving to me. And he said, look.
And he under the shell, under the desk, he had a Samsonite. He bring it up and he opened it.
And this was, he said, this is a Samsonite belonging to a Japanese merchant. And I saw Allah, the only one who knows, a whole bunch of dollars, yens, different kind of currency, and very, very, very expensive watches. Obviously, he is a merchant and he came to the area so he can go to the jewelry store and show them the samples of what he got. And he got the money with him. And he said, this belonged to Japanese man. And when that Japanese man is going to come back, he will take it. And we are keeping it for him in here. And I said, but how you will know? He said, my father, before he dies, he described it for me. I said, your father, may Allah bless his soul. He said, my father died 3 years ago. This Samsonite in that place for more than 3 years. And it will be here till that man come to take it or send somebody to take it. That is trust. And I don't have to exaggerate, and whomever knows me, they know that I don't lie. This incident, that's exactly what happened. Now, to develop that kind of intuition, to develop that kind of malakah, that's what the whole akhlaq is all about. That's what the message of Islam is all about. This family, by their own choice, decided to be loyal and honest. If he gonna take anything, nobody other than Allah watching. If he anybody come and he also gonna deny it, nobody gonna even, no evidence. But the conscience was more than good enough to do it. And that's what the whole message of Islam is all about. That's what the akhlaq is all about. It is not how much knowledge you know, it is how you behave and how you stand in the fulfilling of your commitment to others. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance and blessing. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our gathering and give us a brand new start and give us the wisdom and the courage to study the teaching of the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and apply them in our life. So we can live in peace and die in peace. And inshallah, the hereafter will be in peace and will be among the companions of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. These are the quality that we have the gift of life to develop. To develop the patience, the honesty, the sincerity, the loyalty, that sensitive heart is to recognize mistakes and repent. Now, I want to be all of those. How am I going to be all of those? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed it to us, and He made it very plain and very clear. وَلَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the accepted role model from Allah in Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what is the major thing that is accepted? Akhlaq and zakr Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So you and I, we are obligated, if we are really loyal to our sin. See how Sayyidina Muhammad behaved. When Sayyidina Aisha radhiyallahu anha was asking about Sayyidina Muhammad, she said, "Kana khulquhu al-Qur'an." Or by another word, if you want to see the Qur'an alive, walking in the street, watch Muhammad. That is the goal. So your goal and mine. And if you want to be among the companion, it is only fair. You, Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, he is saying, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba yawm al-qiyamah. You will be with the whomever you love in the day of judgment. Where is that going to be? That's another story. But if you want to be with Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, you better get acquainted with him. How you want to be with somebody you don't know? Or only the only time when you hear his name, you say alayhi salatu wasalam. You have to know who is Muhammad. You have to know how Muhammad lives. How Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam accepted the challenges. How he behaved. Or the bottom line, how Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, by his choice, selected to give Allah his right. Wallahi ya am, la wada'u ash-shamsa fi yamini wal qamara fi shimali ala an atruka hadha al-amr ma taraktu. That's his choice. His obligation to Allah. And we all know how Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disciplined himself, took care of himself. And he knows the school that he is to really take care of himself is the Quran and Qiyamul Layl. Qiyamul Layl. This is the school of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he graduated. Not we graduated, he graduated by the Quran and by Qiyamul Layl, praying at night. If you want to be with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, start to follow his footsteps. And we all know, when it comes to other people's obligations and other people's rights, what they called him. They called him an Amin, the trustworthy. I hope, inshallah, that we all will be among the companion of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this life and after. Some gonna say, how are you gonna be in this life? Yes, I can be by my behavior. I can be by my mind. I can be by my heart. And I'm not gonna worry about the body. I am not gonna worry about what is the body. But you can be with Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by your heart and by your money and by your mind and by your behavior. And I hope, inshallah, we will be among the companion of Sayyidina Muhammad in the hereafter and in paradise. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all our sins, all our mistakes, all our shortcomings. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us brand new start. And give us the wisdom and the courage to study the teaching of the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and apply them in our life. So we can live in peace and we can die in peace, and inshallah the hereafter will be in peace and will be among the companion of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. Ibadallah, qulu la ilaha illa Allah tuflihun. Ibadallah, inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsani wa ita'i bil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما في
الصدور. الله أكبر الله أكبر
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله
حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح أقام الصلاة أقامت الصلاة الله أكبر.